Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
I'm going to move forward here, though, and I'm going to introduce what we're going to be talking on tonight, and that is, it's time to let it go. I debated on so long of actually playing the Let It Go from Frozen, but I figured there's a lot of parents in this crowd who may have younger kids, and they've probably heard that way too many times already, so I don't need to play it for them to know it, right? You guys could probably sing it for me right now. Am I right? Yeah, over here, they're all like, yeah, too many times, please don't get it going. Maybe some people really like it, but I really feel like God has a message for some people here today about moving forward in some of the things in our lives. And so I'm going to start with a question like I always usually do with all my messages for the youth or anybody, and that is, who here remembers the first time they were saved? First time when they first came to know the Lord and their salvation was fresh, it was like they just saw who the Lord was and they're like, yes, right? Let's show a show of hands. Who remembers their first time? That's awesome, right? I remember my first time too. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to throw another question. How did you feel? I'm going to let an open mic here a little bit, all right? Maybe a danger here, but how did you feel? Like, what were some emotions that you were feeling when you first gave your heart to the Lord? Anybody? Anybody brave enough? Freedom. Awesome. Yeah. Anybody else? What's that? Alive. Yeah. Take two more here, if anybody's brave enough. You felt like the weight was taken off. Yeah, one more. Chains broken. Chains broken. Oh, amen to that. Woo! Yeah. I'm going to take a sip. Yeah, I'll take one last one.
I was really excited.
Excited, yeah. And so today I'm going to be talking a little bit, touch on that to start. And I want to start by sharing a bit of my testimony when I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian family. We went to a church, but we didn't practice anything to do with God. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about healing or any of that. Actually, that was looked down upon from where I grew up. So by the time I was in grade 5, we just stopped going to church. We weren't going to anything. We had nothing to do with God. And Bryson, my best friend, he ended up going to a Christian school, and I made fun of him for it. I mocked him. I'm like, ha, you're going to be one of those Halo dudes, right? And it wasn't great of me, and now I'm one of those people, I guess. So God's got a sense of humor. But as he went, he encountered the Lord for the first time. He had an excitement, and then he actually ended up inviting me to a retreat. Now, I wasn't living a great lifestyle. I was going out drinking and doing other stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. And that weekend, I wasn't supposed to be going, but Bryson knocked on my door, and he's like, you're coming with me. You got no choice. And I'm like, okay, well, is there another option? No. So he walked in with me and took me to this retreat, and that weekend I encountered the Lord for the first time. It was one of the greatest feelings I've ever had. I had this vision, because it was a workshop for youth, and one of the things that they taught on was how to hear God. And to me, that was, like I said, I never knew you could even talk to God. I was like, what? That's a thing? So all they did was say, picture Jesus. However you see him, just picture him. And of course, in my mind, it was all black. There was nothing there. And I got so mad, I was frustrated. I'm like, what's going on? Like, all I see is black and darkness. And all of a sudden, as soon as I finished saying that, a light appeared. And it said, come to me. And I'm like, I've been told my whole life to stay away from the light. I'm not going to the light. That usually means death. Well, in a way, it was kind of right. I didn't want to go to it, so he came to me, and it was Jesus. Jesus starts walking with me, takes me to a door, and says, open it. Of course, me, I'm like, I can open up a door. It was locked. I couldn't open it. And so I look at Jesus. I'm like, what are you doing? You said to open this door. Why would you take me to a door that couldn't be opened? And I got mad. And he says, while putting his hand on me, he says, you're forgiven. Do it again. And as I did that, I just opened up the door, walked into this beautiful, beautiful garden, took me underneath a tree and said, hold out your hand. And as I did that, he handed me a cross. Said, this represents my love for you and your love towards me. That night, I gave my heart to the Lord. I had this crazy vision. I was like, no way, this just happened. I didn't even realize how biblical it was. And then that night, I was in tears. When that's why I said amen to the person that said break every chain. Like broken chains, because the song by Jesus Culture, Break Every Chain, where Kim Walker sings it, they were singing it that night, and I was just in tears. God broke my chains that night. And I remember that so freshly in my mind. I'm like, yeah! Woo! I loved that moment. I loved the time just after that. And you know what? I'm going to take us to a passage in the Bible. And in fact, I've received a lot of revelation from this passage. And it's out of John 4. If you guys turn to John 4, you guys may have heard of this before. It's the woman at the well. It's very common. Lots of people preach out of it. But I absolutely love this passage. We're going to start in verse 7. And we're going to go till I stop. There we go, at least a few chuckles. All right, so we're going to go there. And this is how it goes. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is saying it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of water that I give them will never be thirsty. Well, the water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husbands and take your husband. Ooh, getting ahead of myself. And come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you're a prophet. Of course, the only logical thing to say at that moment, right? Or ancestor worshipped in this mountain. But you say that there's a place where people will worship in Jerusalem? Jesus said to her, woman, believe in me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, where the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Okay, so that's where I'm going to stop. Thanks for holding in there for a second. That was a long one. Everybody awake? I see some eyes going like, almost asleep. Why'd you have to stop? All right. So I love that passage. There's so many things where I could go to just a short part of it, but I wanted to read the full thing for you for a reason. I like to call that moment a Jesus moment. The woman at the well had her Jesus moment. She had her Jesus moment. Just like I said to you guys, I asked you, have any of you guys remember the time of salvation, right? When you first came to know the Lord, you had your Jesus moment, right? You encountered Jesus, you saw who he was, you saw that he knew everything about you, And most likely, if you were like me, you cried like a little baby. Oh, good. There's still some people awake laughing. Yes. Oh, more laughter. I'm doing good. All right. Okay. But that's just one moment. One moment there, right? This woman at the well had this moment. She came to draw a well. Jesus told her everything about her. Everything about her, knew about her, all of her husbands, and probably more that it doesn't even say in here that they talked about. So now, in our walks with Jesus, in our walks with God, there always comes a moment. Always comes a time. So we have our Jesus moment, and we are on the highest of highs. We are on the highest mountain. And then about a month or two later, maybe a couple years later, you start wondering, is this man real? Because things come to you. Or, you know what? It's like, do I really want to do this? There's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot that comes with following Jesus. You mean I have to stop doing that? You mean I probably shouldn't hang out with Timmy and Joel? I don't know if I want to do that. And so there comes a moment, all of us, where we have to figure out if we're going to drop it. If we're going to drop what we're doing and let Jesus take control. So this is the reason why I love it. And it was about 2 years ago when I was reading through this passage that the Lord highlighted one thing to me. I'm about to read that to you right now. In verse 28, there goes a pencil. It says this. Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. This is one key word. She left her jar. She left her jar. She went to go get water, right? She needed water to live. Did she not? I mean, it's a little bit different now. We don't carry jars to go there. Now, she went in the middle of the day, so most likely she knew she wasn't the greatest person. She'd messed up, and she was embarrassed to go get water, so she went in the middle of the day when nobody else would be there. But Jesus met her, told her everything, and introduced himself to her. She realized who Jesus was and went back. But before she went back, she dropped everything she had there and left. She left the one thing that she came there for water. Her purpose there was to grab water, and she left it. That doesn't make sense. Could you imagine if you were in a family and you're like, "Hey, I'm going to the grocery store. I know we need some food and water and all this stuff." And then you come back with nothing. "Hey, honey, guess what happened? You got some food? That's what I sent you for." "Oh, no, 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 no. I got something even better. I got Jesus. I got Jesus." Now, the wife at that moment probably wouldn't have been, if I'm just doing a figurative thing, not actually literal, would have been like, "Huh? Excuse me?" But that's the moment we face, because your friends are going to say the same thing to you. When you come back and you say, "Hey, I dropped everything. I was like a prostitute. I was sleeping with multiple men and all these things. I was doing all these things wrong. But now I have Jesus. Let me tell you about him." They're going to be like, "What? What about him? Are you going to live it out now?" Because she all of a sudden dropped everything and went to people who probably hated her. And they're like, "Hey, come see this Jesus guy. He knew everything about me, and he knows everything about you." And then if you continue on at the end of the passage, it actually says, oh, let me find it here. It's so beautiful. I don't have it up there, but I love this part. In verse 42, because Jesus comes to them, they meet him. They say they wanted to meet him for themselves because they heard about him. They let him stay for a couple days. And then in verse 42, it says this. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have now heard for ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. When we drop everything of who we were, when we drop everything and give it to Jesus because he says he is the living water, the living water. Now say that with me, the what? Hey, there we go, right? I think we hear that so much, but we forget about it, that Jesus is truly the living water, the one that we will never thirst again if we drink from. And so if we truly believe that, have you hit that moment where you're willing to give up everything? Give up embarrassment. You know what? Times are going to be when you go and talk to people and they're not going to believe you. I went back to school after that weekend. I lost a lot of friends because I told them about Jesus. I'm like, man, they're like, you're a homophobe just because I said I was a Christian. One of my good friends was gay. But they called me a homophobe just because now I'm a Christian. And so I lost all of these friends, but you know what? God had so much more for me. In those times where it hurt and I didn't even know what to do anymore, I leaned on God. I leaned on Jesus. I had to drop everything so I could tell everybody about everything. Amen. The one who's everything about them. But the real question is, and you know what? I'm going to be honest with you guys. Is that all right? I still struggle to drop everything. There's still little things that I have to let go of here and there. I'm not perfect. I'm declaring these things because I believe I want to become perfect like Jesus is perfect. But I know it's a process. I know it's a journey. But I'm saying it starts with acknowledging when we give it all to God. Oh man, watch out. Watch out. But it starts with dropping that jar, letting it go, and saying, Jesus, what do you have? Because it turns from a Jesus moment into a freedom moment. A Jesus moment into a freedom moment. When we allow Jesus to take control of our hearts, it goes from a Jesus moment to a freedom moment. And I don't know about you, but I like living in freedom. I think that's why I love the song, Break Every Chain, because when you're chained down, it sucks. You're walking and you're tripping over everything. Your burdens are carrying you down. You feel heavy. You feel the weight of the world. But you know what? When we allow Jesus to take it, there's so much freedom. So we need to turn that first moment where you came to know the Lord. We need to remember. We need to remember that moment. Never forget. David writes in Psalms all the time, I remember the salvation, right? The time of salvation. Bring me back to my salvation, Lord. I think that's something we all need to cry out and ask the Lord more. Lord, I want to see more of you. I want to see and remind me of my salvation. Of where I came from. It says not to forget where you came from because once you were lost, broken, and all these things, because we need to remember that, but we're not going to hold on to that because that's not who you are anymore. Because as soon as you drop that jug of water and you allow Jesus to be your living water, there's freedom. Amen. Freedom sometimes takes time, and it's a process, but I believe Jesus, who's Jesus? Oh, you better be careful, Bryce. Jesus is freedom. And when he died on that cross, rose again for us, he declared freedom for everyone to receive. I want my Jesus moment that I recall to turn into a forever freedom moment. I'm going to quickly... just because I want to have scripture with that too. If you turn to Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, it says this. You were taught to put away your former way of life. Oh, that's kind of what I've been talking about. Your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with a new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Put away your former self. Put away your old sins, your old lusts and things that comes with putting. This woman that came to Jesus, she had so much things bonded to her and all of these things that were considered wrong. The woman at the well, I would say was a pretty broken person. But you know what? Brokenness is one of the best places you can be. Bryson talked about this today, and that's where it comes in. Brokenness is one of the most beautiful things you can have in your life if you give it to Jesus. This woman was broken. She knew she was broken. She knew she couldn't be talking to certain people because she was ashamed and all these things. She didn't know what to do anymore. But when we reach that broken point in our lives, are we going to give it to Jesus? We need to remember that moment, like I said, of salvation. We need to recall the times where Jesus has moved in your lives. You know what? Oftentimes people have told me, keep a little booklet of what God's done in your life to remind yourself in those hard times. Because the enemy doesn't like joy. He doesn't enjoy when you're rejoicing in Jesus. And so when you're doing that, he's going to come to seek, kill, and destroy your happiness, your joy, your life, things in there. He's going to do whatever he can to claw at you. But I want to say, turn your Jesus moments into freedom moments. Recall the things that God has done in your life and listen to what he's doing in other people's lives. There's power in people's testimonies. There's power in Jesus. And so tonight, as I was praying of what to do, I really wanted two things tonight. First things first, I've talked about that Jesus moment. I've talked about that Jesus moment that people have, that first encounter with God. And I don't know everybody here. I'm still fairly new to Bethel. But you know what? If you're here tonight and you've never had that Jesus moment, you've never encountered who this Jesus man is, I want to invite you to the front. I want to pray for you. I want to see if you want Jesus in your life and you want to encounter that moment, that freedom that comes with him, I want to pray with you tonight. You know what? There's many of us who will pray with you as well. But then there's the other thing that I want to have as well. A freedom moment. If you have been struggling with something for so long, I believe God wants to bring freedom into that. I believe he wants to bring peace into that. And so today I want to give you an opportunity to come to the front and just give that to Jesus. Lord, just start praying to him, even in your seats. Say, Jesus, I want that freedom moment. I'm looking for that freedom moment. So Jesus, come into me. Help me through this, Lord, and give me freedom. Because God takes off our bondage when we lay it before his throne. When we lay before the cross, he takes it. We're never meant to carry those things on our shoulders. So I believe if you have that, you're feeling those things in the weight of the world on you right now, I want to invite you to a moment of freedom. You know what? Not even a moment. I don't even like that word moment. I want to invite you to a lifestyle of freedom. A lifestyle of freedom. Because it's not just a single moment. It's not just one time you have to take something to Jesus. It's a lot. If you're anything like me, it's usually a daily occurrence. But we have to lay it before him and say, Jesus, I want to live a freedom lifestyle. And so for the first one, if that's you, I just want to invite you to the front here. And I want to pray with you. And if you want some prayer tonight or anything that Pastor Cal, myself, and any of the leadership team that knows about, there, can we come up here and we want to pray with you. Okay, we want to pray with you tonight. And so I want to close in prayer. Well, maybe not close, I'm going to close the sermon part. My message in prayer here. And I just welcome you to just come to the front and worship. And also, how great is worship today? Like, I just like, wow. Let's just give him a round of applause too. Really awesome. So let's just pray. And then if you want that Jesus moment or that freedom moment, I just invite you to come up, and we would love to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are a God of freedom. Lord, we just thank you that we can bring anything before you, nothing too big and too small is for you, Lord Jesus. We can bring anything. And so, Jesus, I pray for those who have many burdens, including myself, Lord, lift these things off of our shoulders, and we lay them down before your cross, Lord, and say, take them. Let us live a freedom lifestyle today. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. I say, pray, I pray you flow through the hearts of everyone here tonight. Lord, allow them to encounter your presence. And that, Jesus, that you be able to be our comforter in our hurting times. We just rejoice. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.